Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. Issues surrounding defective concrete have been in focus at Leinster House today. Councillor Declan Meehan has criticised a decision not to approve a consultant dermatologist post at Letterkenny University Hospital. Ireland's fishing industry has reacted with anger to a new EU-Norway fisheries deal, and a spike in prices at the pumps and for home heating oil is being questioned. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we will have a full sports update from Oisin at around a quarter to six. But first, seriously and terminally ill residents in Donegal are being left in limbo in defective concrete homes, a local TD has warned the Dáil. Deputy Charles Ward told fellow TDs that the Housing Department's responses to urgent cases have been generic letters, offering no real solutions or support for those with severe medical needs. Highlighting two particularly concerning cases, Deputy Ward called on the government to investigate the health risks of defective concrete and urged the Health Minister to introduce a system that prioritises residents whose health is compromised.
These are real families, not stats, and unfortunately the only response from the Housing Department was a generic letter offering practically no support. And I want to commend your leadership, particularly the leadership that the Minister showed with the Letterkenny Hub. And these cases are an opportunity for, as a government and the Health Department, to lead again. And we need help. We need urgent cases fast-tracked. Their health is failing and they're ageing, but they need to be prioritised. And at the moment, there's no steps. So can the department take anything from this and help them? Because they're actually running out of time. A constituent with a severe reduction in her lung capacity. Her doctors are deeply concerned about this. The effects of the prolonged exposure to damp and mould in her defective home has shortened her life. There's no way doubt about it. Each day this constituent remains in her home, her health is deteriorating. She is also suffering with dementia. And a mother who is a nurse, who's terminally ill, stage 4 cancer, who wants her house rebuilt before she dies for her 4 kids. That's serious. And I would like the Minister for Health to at least go and put something in place for these people to make sure there's a priority. And I think it's priority that we need to make sure that we get this done for them, because that mother that came to me will not be here next Christmas. 4 kids. And it's important that we look at this in a humane way and try and get it done. Just whatever we have to do, get it done.
You can hear that full exchange on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, the issue of 9 households living in Elm Park in Buncrana has been raised in the Dáil Chamber. All of the houses are affected by defective blocks, but because their homes were built on a floodplain, they are seeking relocation rather than remediation. Housing Minister James Brown told the Dáil he will strive to ensure that happens as quickly as possible. The issue was raised by Deputy Padraig McLaughlin.
I welcome the announcement before Christmas that ER agreed to relocate the families. They are obviously waiting a long time. As you know, they first of all got cooperation of all families to agree to relocation. They then had to get all their houses tested. Every house is affected by defective blocks. They're just pressing for a time frame, Minister.
The Deputy would be aware of this. I did visit Donegal last year and I met with many of the residents affected, and I understand the flooding issue pertaining in particular to Elm Park in Buncrana, where 9 homeowners are particularly affected. I appreciate the genuine concerns of those residents based on their own personal experience in recent years, and indeed I've seen the videos myself. Therefore, I'm disposed towards finding solutions to the flooding issue based on the needs of those affected and finding a workable solution. I know that in the past the OPW have used relocation schemes in some small and specific circumstances, and I've asked officials in my department to find a solution to the way that we can, a method that we can have these families relocated.
And I appreciate the fact that you've agreed to the principle of relocation, but there's a real anxiety that this won't drag on now for a long period. It's a common sense proposal. The flood defences won't have to be built. The area returns to a floodplain. You know, it ticks every box from common sense, but we just need a bit of urgency, Minister.
And we know that flood relief schemes take a considerable length of time. The relocation proposal is something I'm going to continue to work with the residents and with the deputies from Donegal, see how we can come up with a scheme as quickly as possible.
In the Shannon Chamber, renewed calls have been made for a scheme to be established for non-residential buildings affected by defective concrete. Eileen Flynn says her daughter attends one such creche. The Donegal Senator says there are over 25 childcare facilities in the county caught up in the crisis, with no means of support currently in sight. Senator Flynn argued that if Leinster House was crumbling, staff and elected members would not be expected to go into work every day. She questioned why it is acceptable for the children of Donegal.
Every single day, I send my little girl, Lacey, into a creche where we don't, like, it could fall down at any, absolutely any point. And no fault to the childcare providers in Donegal. There's over 25 childcare providers, leader, in Donegal that their buildings are impacted by affected blocks. I know that Charlie Ward has done a lot of work around 100% redress, but we're forgetting about the community organisations who are also impacted by the affected concrete crisis. You know, leader, we wouldn't be expected to come in here if this chambers was impacted by affected blocks, be known as health and safety. Why do we expect to send our children to child facilities, early education, when at any time, anything can happen?
Councillor Declan Meehan has criticised the decision not to approve a consultant dermatologist post at Letterkenny University Hospital. The National Clinical Lead for Dermatology, Professor Anne-Marie Tobin, refused to sanction the role, saying a standalone consultant position in Letterkenny would not be appropriate, despite this being the case in Sligo University Hospital. Councillor Meehan says the decision is unfair, pointing out that Donegal patients must currently travel to Sligo, with some facing journeys of up to 2.5 hours each way. He says it is another example of health discrimination against Donegal.
This is just another example of health inequality faced by the people of Donegal. I've written to the Minister for Health and asked her to review and intervene on this particular appointment. Not only was it recommended that a consultant post be filled in Letterkenny University Hospital, the funding was actually secured. So this comes from the National Clinical Lead. There's National Clinical Leads who are professionals working in each specialty area. They're all Dublin-based, by and large. And look, it's very easy to make a decision sitting in Talla University Hospital in Dublin.
Ireland's fishing industry has reacted with anger to a new EU-Norway fisheries deal. The Irish Fish Producers Organisation and the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation say the agreement heavily favours Norway. Norway will gain access to blue whiting worth about €21.5 million in waters off Ireland's west coast. They've also criticised the Marine Minister for abstaining rather than opposing the EU vote on the deal. Industry leaders say the agreement is disastrous for Ireland and are calling for transparency on how it was approved. A spike in prices at the pumps and for home heating oil is being questioned. Enterprise Minister Peter Burke will meet with energy representative bodies tomorrow after costs spiralled in recent days. Meanwhile, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is looking into reports of price gouging. In Donegal, the average price for 500 litres of heating oil stands currently at €719, an increase of €217 since Sunday. Minister Burke says the increases bear no connection to what is happening on international markets.
I know prices have gone up, but not in reflection that we have seen, particularly in the Ukrainian crisis, where the price of oil went to about $128 a barrel. We've seen the prices now at around $81, $82 a barrel. That was the same as it was back in January 2025, back in April 2024. It doesn't reflect a 50% increase.
Three people arrested yesterday in the Ballymoney and Waterside areas of Derry as part of an ongoing investigation concerning suspected fraud have been released on bail to allow for further police inquiries. With more, here's Tara Duggan.
The PSNI says the arrests were made by detectives from its Criminal Investigation Division and followed a report received in May 2024 linked to a local council body. A 39-year-old man was arrested in the Ballymoney area on suspicion of multiple fraud offences, bribery, misconduct in public office, money laundering offences and forgery. A 59-year-old man was arrested in the Waterside area of Derry on suspicion of fraud by false representation, bribery and money laundering offences. And a 39-year-old woman was detained in the Ballymoney area on suspicion of converting criminal property. The Irish News is reporting the arrests include a former senior official with Causeway Coast and Glensborough Council. All three have been released on police bail. The PSNI says its investigation is continuing.
The National Council for Special Education is apologising over the recent SNA allocation review. Last month, the government paused plans to review and reallocate SNAs for next year after concerns were raised. The Oireachtas Education and Youth Committee is questioning the NCSE over its handling of the controversy. Its CEO, John Kearney, says they have listened to those concerns.
We welcome the pause initiated by the Minister for Education, who has rightly heard the voices of concern that issued. The NCSE duly notes and apologises for any and all upset and uncertainty caused to children, parents, special needs assistants and schooling communities in recent weeks. This was never our intention. We pride ourselves and our relationships with schooling communities, parents right around the country.
McDonald's has confirmed that a video circulating on social media showing dead mice in the kitchen area of a store is at their Crescent Link branch in Derry. The store is currently closed for refurbishment works. A spokesperson for McDonald's says cleanliness and hygiene are of the utmost importance to the restaurant. A 48-year-old man was arrested in the Craigavon area today as part of the investigation into the disappearance and murder of Lisa Dorian. Detectives from the PSNI's major investigation team made the arrest on suspicion of murder, assisting offenders and preventing a lawful and decent burial. Lisa was last seen alive 21 years ago in Ballyhalbert. A 40-year-old man was arrested yesterday on suspicion of assisting offenders and withholding information. He was later released on bail pending further inquiries. A woman aged 40 and a man aged 42 were arrested on Wednesday, the 25th of February, on suspicion of murder, assisting offenders, withholding information and preventing a lawful and decent burial, and they were later released on bail pending further inquiries. A child's social class can have an impact on the relationship they have with their teachers. That's according to an ESRI report published today, which finds teachers are closer to students from middle-class families. The data also reveals educators tend to have more conflicts with pupils whose parents are unemployed. Principal at Rutland National School in Dublin, Niamh Murray, says every school should strive to have strong relationships with parents, regardless of their background.
Our plan is to bring parents on a well-being open morning and bring parents on a well-being walk around the school to show them all the different initiatives that we're doing in order to build relationships, such as we've the zones of regulation, restorative of practice, a nurture room, a calm zone. We have all of those initiatives because we place a great emphasis on building relationships.
It is 18 minutes to 6 on Highland Radio. All the sport with Oisin after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with running shoes from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 5:45 on Highland Radio and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We're going to start with cross-channel football. There is, of course, a game tonight in the Premier League as two London sides are set to go head-to-head in the form of Tottenham and Crystal Palace. Now, Spurs interim boss is Igor Tudor and he says talk about them being relegated is best kept for the pub. They're just a point clear of the bottom three heading into tonight's game. Tudor insists they're trying to ignore the outside pressure that comes with their poor run of form.
To work on mentality, how to work, how defending better. As I said, these are all the things the fans can speak between them and journalists and you as well, but we try to not, our toes not go in that direction.
Brennan Johnson returns to Tottenham tonight, with Palace manager Oliver Glasner still convinced that he will turn into a great signing. The Wales forward got the goal that won Spurs the Europa League last season before moving to Selhurst Park in January. He's still not scored for Palace though, but Glasner thinks that he will come good.
He would like to score like every attacking player and this, so. But I see his effort in training. I just spoke to him, such a great player. He has all the skills that are needed, he has everything.
For next season, the Championship playoffs will be expanded from four teams to six. EFL clubs have approved the decision and want to increase the number of competitive fixtures during the closing stages of the campaign. Patrick Schuick has emerged as an injury doubt for Chasnia ahead of their World Cup playoff semi-final against the Republic of Ireland. The striker was ruled out of Bayer Leverkusen's game with Hamburg on Wednesday, with the club citing a muscle injury as the reason for his absence. On the golf front, Shane Lowry is in opening round action at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He has completed the front nine on level par, where he took a bogey five at the ninth. Rory McIlroy is among the late starters, with the Masters champion out on course at 6:30. Daniel Berger was the leader a short time ago at 7 under. Leona Maguire is 3 shots off the lead following day one of the Blue Bay event in China. The Cavan golfers signed for a 69 today to sit in a tie for 14th and 3 under. Lauren Walsh is 1 under after carding an opening round a 71. In athletics, Inish Owens Park McKinney smashed his own Masters indoor mile record yesterday evening in Dublin at the NIA Track and Field live event at Abbottstown. Park ran 5:04.55, taking almost 9 seconds off his previous record. Speaking with Michael Corran, Park was delighted with his run.
I ran here 7 weeks ago, Michael, and I ran at 5:13.
Yeah.
And then my coach, Colin Roberts, got me doing faster sessions. And I definitely felt a lot better out there tonight than what I did the previous night.
Last two or three laps, you were really flying.
I was, yeah.
So really strong.
5:04.
That's
nice.
A huge.
Nice, yeah.
That's a huge.
Happy with that.
That's very good, because that record has come down from about 5:40 in the last 2 years.
Right, well, that's good to know. So maybe I'll have to try to come back next year with a proper preparation and maybe try to go for the 5 minutes, Michael. You never know.
That's Park McKinney, who smashed his indoor mile record last night at Abbottstown. And you can watch that piece in full, which is available now on highlandradio.com. To rugby, Scotland have made 5 changes to their starting 15 for Saturday's Six Nations clash with France. Props Pierre Schuurman and Darcy Ray, hooker George Turner, number 8 Jack Dempsey and winger Darcy Graham all come into the lineup. Gregory Townsend's side take on the unbeaten defending champions on the back of consecutive victories over Wales and England. Finally, just looking ahead to the score programme tonight here in Highland, we'll be hearing from Joe Boyle on this week's League of Ireland preview ahead of games for Finn Harps and Derry City on Friday. It's a busy Sunday with the last 16 of the FAI Junior Cup. We'll focus in on 2 clubs from the North West, Cairn FC of the Inishowen League and Erin Wanderers of the Donegal Junior League. Plus, in rallying, David Kelly will recap his maiden win on the National Championship, where he drove his Skoda to victory on the Mayo Stagers Rally last weekend. And in Gaelic Games, we'll hear from Donegal hurling manager Mickey McCann. His side take on Wicklow on Sunday, where they know a win will secure a place in the Division 3 League Final. It's all part of the score tonight with Mark Gallagher, which is coming up just after the 7 o'clock news. Ryan.
Thanks, Oisin. Donegal County Council is being asked to provide an update on which safety signage will be erected on the road leading to the Old Forge outside Glengad. Councillor Ali Farron says there's a long straight road leading into Glengad from the main side, which ends with a very sharp bend that can be difficult to anticipate, particularly at night. There have been numerous incidents at the bend, and Councillor Farron believes signage warning of the sharp bend ahead would alleviate the problem.
There's been numerous amount of accidents at what we would know as the Forge, Glengad. It's a 90 degree bend, and there's been numerous amount of accidents at it, and I've asked in the past for signage to be put on that corner to show it and to highlight it, and as of yet we still haven't got it in place. Now, there could be an issue that, you know, it's ordered and we're waiting on it, but at the moment it still hasn't been put in situ, and that's one of the things that would be concerning me, considering that we have a road safety issue, and simple fast fixes could help somebody. Like, it's no time ago since there was a car on its roof in that field.
And the weather dry and cold tonight with long clear spells developing. Lowest temperatures of -2 to 2 degrees with frost and ice forming in light northwest to westerly winds. Dry and sunny tomorrow, but it will be a cold start to the day with frost and some icy stretches. Highest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees with light or moderate west to southwesterly winds. A look back at today's main story. Seriously and terminally ill residents in Donegal are being left in limbo in defective concrete homes, a local TD has warned. Deputy Charles Ward told fellow TDs that the housing department's responses to urgent cases have been generic letters offering no real solutions or support for those with severe medical needs. Highlighting 2 particularly concerning cases, Deputy Ward called on the government to investigate the health risks of defective concrete and urged the health minister to introduce a system that prioritises residents whose health is compromised. Meanwhile, the issue of 9 households in Elm Park and Buncrana has again been raised in the Dáil Chamber. All of the houses are affected by defective blocks, but because their homes were built on a floodplain, they are seeking relocation rather than remediation. Housing Minister James Brown told the Dáil he will strive to ensure that happens as quickly as possible. And in the Shannon Chamber, renewed calls have been made for the scheme to be established for non-residential buildings affected by defective concrete. Eileen Flynn says her daughter attends one such creche. The Donegal Senator says there are over 25 childcare facilities in the county caught up in the crisis, with no means of support currently in sight. Senator Flynn argued that if Leinster House was crumbling, staff and elected members would not be expected to go into work every day. Councillor Declan Meehan has criticised a decision not to approve a consultant dermatologist post at Letterkenny University Hospital. The National Clinical Lead for Dermatology, Professor Anne-Marie Tobin, refused to sanction the role, saying a standalone consultant position in Letterkenny would be inappropriate, despite this being the case in Sligo University Hospital. Councillor Meehan says the decision is unfair, pointing out that Donegal patients must currently travel to Sligo, with some facing journeys of up to 2.5 hours each way. Ireland's fishing industry has reacted with anger to a new EU-Norway fisheries deal. The Irish Fish Producers Organisation and the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation say the agreement heavily favours Norway. Norway will gain access to blue whiting worth about €21.5 million in waters off Ireland's west coast. They've also criticised the Marine Minister for abstaining rather than opposing the EU vote on the deal. Industry leaders say the agreement is disastrous for Ireland and are calling for transparency on how it was approved. And a spike in prices at the pumps and for home heating oil is being questioned. Enterprise Minister Peter Burke will meet with energy representative bodies tomorrow after costs spiralled in recent days. Meanwhile, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is looking into reports of price gouging. In Donegal, the average price of 500 litres of heating oil stands currently at €719, an increase of €217 since Sunday. That's all for the newsroom for now. This evening's edition of Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore will be after the obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, March 5th. The death has taken place of Martina Doherty, Marty, née Murphy, St. Columbus Avenue, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her residence from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Going to St. Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Graveyard. The death has occurred of Peter Freel, Lockrose Milford, reposing at his home today until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Those attending the wake should park at Milford Mart car park and a bus will be provided from there. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations of desire to Hematology Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Caitlin Louise Glacken, Ocklam, Donegal Town, reposing at her late residence, which is strictly private, please. Funeral Mass in St. Agatha's Church, Clare, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to Barrettstown Children's Charity, care of George Irwin Funeral Directors, or any family member. The death has taken place of Tommy McFadden, Clumbarra, Fulcara, reposing at his home today until 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rosaries nightly at 9 o'clock. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Tommy's funeral mass will take place on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Finian's Church, Fulcara, with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the church webcam and on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Fulcara Cardiac First Responders, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place in London of Therese Smith, née O'Kelly, formerly of Derry. Therese's remains will be reposing at her brother Declan's residence, 27 Drummond Park, Derry, until 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ardmore, followed by burial in Ardmore Cemetery. Therese's Requiem Mass can be viewed on ardmoreparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of the immediate family, or Mr. Kieran Connor, McClafferty Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Highland Radio. Hello and welcome to Farming News and Views with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from the new editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, Adam Woods, who was the guest speaker at the annual general meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association. But first, the Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs in the North has confirmed a new outbreak of bird flu. This one is in County Tyrone. A temporary control zone has been established around the poultry premises, which is near Oma. The Chief Veterinary Officer for Northern Ireland, Brian Duher, said the decision to enforce the temporary control zone was based on a number of factors, including the clinical signs and preliminary results provided by the Agri-Food and Biosciences Institute. Farmers supplying Revo Co-op have expressed some unease over merger discussions with Dale Farm. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, a group of suppliers has written to the board stating they are not opposed to growth or efficiency. However, they believe the scale and permanence of the deal require additional safeguards. Particular concern has been raised about the proposed headquarters being based in Belfast. The group says this could have long-term implications for governance and supplier alignment. Now, back to that County Donegal IFA Executive AGM in Letterkenny. The meeting itself was not surprisingly dominated by the Board BIA controversy, which has now moved on since then with the establishment of an independent review. Meanwhile, there was just one change to the officer board of the executive. St Johnston farmer David Moody is the new Donegal representative on the IFA National Grain Committee. The position was previously vacant. Meanwhile, Jane Gamble from Carndonagh received an honorary life membership for her contribution to the IFA over the decades. Well, as I mentioned, the guest speaker was Adam Woods, who was recently appointed as editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. I spoke to him about a number of topics that he had highlighted at the meeting. Now, Adam, you addressed the AGM, a number of big issues, of course, facing us, Mercosur deal being one of them, and the recent trip to Brazil. You showed a video there, and I think it brought home to many people who hadn't seen it before just the stark difference between the EU and South America when it comes to the whole area of traceability and just what could be coming in terms of imports from these countries.
Yeah, and it is coming in, Chris. I guess we've seen that recall of beef in November, of beef that came in September in terms of Easter oil 17 beta, ban carcinogenic hormone. So the checks and the balances, while the EU Commission say they're there, they're not good enough. And there's a difference of day and night between the standards of production in Brazil versus Europe. And that's what's so frustrating with farmers. And I guess that's what has added some impetus to Larry Moran importing that Brazilian beef. That's why farmers are so frustrated when they see those standards in Brazil and compare them with what they're doing at home. That's really, really angered farmers over the last few months and weeks. Yeah, and to where we are with Mercosur, I guess a referral to the ECJ in terms of Ursula von der Leyen. Look, we talked tonight about her being politically weakened. The whole question, the big question now is, does she go for provisional application, which means the deal will go through, we'll say, sort of on a temporary basis before the vote in Brussels. I'm not too sure she'll do that. I think she's been weakened a little bit in the last couple of weeks and months. That ECJ ruling or that ECJ vote really shook up, I guess, politics in Brussels. So I think maybe she won't take that chance and she'll go to that vote in hope that there'll be 361 votes for and 360 votes against.
Another issue that came up, blue tongue, it is spreading, moving up northwards in the country. I think you touched on it. We're going to have to live with this.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be a disease that's going to spread during the summer. We shouldn't be worried about that. Look at it. We don't want deaths on farms, but I think farmers will vaccinate. Farmers will live with this. I think as temperatures increase, we'll see more. The big one for me is opening up that Northern Ireland trade again. I guess we have a huge amount of farmers very, very worried about that Northern Ireland trade. The talking is this evening, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, that will be open, and that'll be a huge boost to especially the border counties, which export a lot of cattle to Northern Ireland every year. So that'll be really, really important to the cattle trade, and we hope to see that movement on that.
Talking now about the Irish Farmers Journal, unlike so many other newspapers, its print circulation held up very, very well in recent years, and you've really pushed the whole online, the subscribers, the videos. It's probably one of the best examples in the country of a adapting to new media.
Yeah, we're trying very hard, Chris. Like, gone are the days where you put a paper out every Thursday and you forget about it. We have an online app there, we have podcasts, we have videos. It's almost every hour now you have to keep that monster fed. And look, we've a lot of readers, we've a lot of content consumers across a variety of channels, and we have to be mobile now with that younger generation and how they consume content, and we want to be the best there is out there as regards digital videos, podcasts, and everything else that goes with digital. So yeah, it's an exciting time. It's a daunting role, I guess, to be Irish Farmers Journal editor. I never maybe thought I'd get to that point. I'm pinching myself, to be honest, but one that I'm really excited about. And look, wherever there's challenges, there's opportunity.
Yeah. And in this age, you need to have a trusted source when it comes to news. And we live in an era of probably information overload. But from what you've seen within the journal, you have a very loyal readership and there is great trust.
Absolutely. Look, in this day and age with social media, everybody's a publisher, but it's really, really important. Like Highland Radio, you need to check your facts, you need to be accurate, you need to be informed. And I think in terms of readers and listeners, we'll respond to that if you are still, we'll say, accurate and informed and make sure everything is right. I think that's really, really important this day and age, because you can put a button on social media and you can, there's no, say, requirement to be right or wrong. Whereas if you're printing, you need to be right every week. And I think farmers trust that, and that's why they continue to come back to the Irish Farmers Journal.
And just looking at 2026 and the general outlook, there's always so many variables, but are you fairly upbeat for the year ahead?
I think I am. 2025 was a super year, especially for dry stock farmers, and look, it's looking good for 2026. You know, prices pretty good at the moment, a little bit of pressure on beef, but a little bit of pressure on milk as well. But I think across Europe, you know, production is down, across the world production is down, so I think we're in a really good place to capitalise on that. And I think the short term sort of 6 month projections are pretty good for beef, and in the last maybe four GDT auctions, in terms of milk auctions, they have been positive as well. So hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel for dairy farmers in terms of that milk price increasing.
And in a county like Donegal, in the last few years, we've seen a lot more diversification, and no doubt you expect that to continue.
Absolutely. I think the biggest challenge there is generational renewal, probably, in terms of encouraging young people into farming, as in all sectors, but especially in sheep. We've seen a huge drop-off in ewe numbers and lamb numbers over the last number of years. And I think in the next CAP, which is a very important time in terms of Ireland taking up the presidency for the last half of 2026, that's a really important time for designing the next CAP and making sure the money is there. I think we need to focus now money for young farmers and make sure we encourage those young farmers back into farming as a career in agriculture.
Adam Woods there. Well, back in October 2025, the Irish Farmers Journal and the IFA carried out an investigative trip to Brazil to look at farming practices there. And a subsequent video has sparked off a lot of reaction and raised many concerns. Well, it was shown at the AGM, and IFA County Chairman Joe Sweeney had this to say.
Yeah, it's actually frightening what was seen there tonight, how they were in Brazil, could walk in anywhere, buy a Mars bar and a bottle of antibiotics, no tag numbers, no register, no prescription, no nothing, that was banned here for the last 20 years. They're using it there.
Incidentally, it's been reported this week by the Farmers Journal on findings by European Commission auditors who have uncovered multiple breaches during inspections in Brazil. The audit followed earlier findings that guarantees on hormone-free beef could not be verified. Brazilian authorities identified deficiencies in on-farm inspections carried out by certifying bodies. One inspection body was struck off, with farm certification suspended. A separate case led to an EU-wide recall following certification errors. Well, one Donegal farmer making the headlines this week is Jonathan Chambers from Ballybuffet, after one of his mule ewes gave birth to healthy quadruplets. The mother was scanned in advance, so it wasn't a shock. On a worrying note, though, there was a serious dog attack on two separate flocks in the Falcara area in the past week, which has resulted in the loss of lambs and the death of one ewe. Elsewhere, IFA Farm Business Chair Bill O'Keefe has said the current conflict in the Middle East must not be used by any fertiliser suppliers to inflate the prices charged to farmers. Well, that's it for this week. Don't forget, you can email me at farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, bye for now.